Today's daf is Menachas Daf Tzadikei. We are 7 lines from the top of Daf Tzadikei Amud Aleph, continuing to discuss halachos and sugyos related to the lechem haponim and the shtei halechem. Sok to Gemara Ibay Elohu, lechem haponim nifsal b'masos, oy enoy nifsal b'masos. So the 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, they had a mishkan. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, they were often traveling. And the Torah, in the beginning of Parashas Bamidbar, discusses that just like the Yidden camped in a certain formation with the Golem, when they traveled, they had to travel in formation as well. And the Gemara Shaila is, while the Yidden were traveling, the Lechem upon him, did it become possible b'yotze? Or did it not become possible b'yotze? We know that halacha is that any kachim that leaves its mechitza, kachim kadashim that leaves the chaymes azara, kachim kalim that leaves the chaymes of Yerushalayim, becomes possible b'yotze. The lechem upon him is kachim kadashim. Thus, if it would leave the chaymes azara, it would now be possible. Possible b'yotze. The question was, when the Yidden traveled, all the Yidden traveled, the Mishkan itself traveled, the Shulchan was traveling, did the lechem upon him at that time become possible b'yotze? Or did it not become possible? So the Gemara is going to discuss this Shaila really from here until the bottom of the Yomid. And by the bottom of the Yomid, we're going to have more clarification into what exactly the Shaila was. But first, the Gemara says it was a Machlokes Amira. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. We're not sure who said what, but Chad Omar Nifsal, the Chad Omar Enoi Nifsal, Mandom, and Nifsal Mandom. That said that the Lechem upon him did become possible. He based it on a Pasik. The Pasik says, Vinosa Oyo Moyed Machane Halavim Betecha Machanois, Kasher Yachanu, Pashit, the same formation that the Yidden camped in was the formation that the Yidden traveled in. And the Gemara says, Ma b'chani yosei nifsal b'yotze, that just like when the Mishkan was camping, it was stationed, there was a concept of a psal yotze, apinasi yosei, so too when I was traveling, nifsal b'yotze. So that's the beer in the mandama that holds that the lechem aponim, b'shas masois, did become possible b'yotze. Mandama, ain't it nifsal mandama that says that didn't become possible b'yotze. He learns it from a different pasuk in the beginning of Parashas Bamidbar. The pasuk says, v'lechem hatomid olav yeh. Olav yeh would seem to suggest that the lechem is always kosher when it's on the shulchan, and it's l'rabbis that while it was traveling, it did not become possible yotze. The man that says that the lechem upon him didn't become possible yotze, what does he do with the drosha of kashe yachanu ken yiso? Doesn't it seem to suggest that just like when they were yachanu, there was a psul yotze, when they were yiso, there was a psul yotze as well, says the gemar. He agrees with the hekish, but he flips the hekish. Just like when they were camped, if the lechem did not leave the mechitzos, it didn't go off the shulchan, it didn't become possible yotzei. The assumption right now is that the lechem isn't leaving the shulchan. It's on the shulchan. It's just at the shulchan and everything is traveling. The point is, just like when they were yachanu, if the lechem didn't leave the shulchan, there was no psul yotze. So too, when they were traveling, if the lechem didn't leave the shulchan, there should be no psul yotze. Idach nami, the mandama that says that there was a psul yotze b'shas masoy. So k'siv lechem atamid olav yeh. What does he do with this drasha? Doesn't that pasuk seem to suggest that as long as the lechem is on the shulchan, it never becomes possible yotze? So the Gemara says, you're right. I hear. Elo ki asa Rav Dimi Amar. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He said that I heard that the machloikis Rav Yoichanan and Rav Yishua Belevi is not the way we understood it in Bavel, but rather bin mesudar the kuliyam. In the event that the lechem upon him was traveling on the shulchan and had not been removed from the shulchan, it was still mesuder on the shulchan, there was never a machloikis. There was no Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that ever said that it would be possible yotze. And the reason is based on the pasuk that the Gemara brought. V'lechem hatamid olav yeh, and we learn from there that the lechem upon him, as long as it's on the shulchan, it's not going to be possible yotze. What then was this machloikis? Eliki pligi b'mesulok. The machloikis was, if the Yidden were traveling, and during this journey, during this travel, the lechem upon him was removed from the shulchan, the question is, does it then become possible yotze, or does it not become possible yotze? Meaning, if it's on the shulchan, there's no shaila. The shaila is when it was not on the shulchan, says the Gemara, and nifsal mandam, that says that it became possible to kashe yachanu kein yiso. It's that same makar. Ma b'chani yosin nifsal b'yotze, af b'nisi yosin nifsal b'yotze. Just like when they were camping, there was a concept of apsul yotze. When they were traveling, there had to be a concept of apsul yotze as well. L'manda amar, inu nifsal, the mandam that says it didn't become possible. also the chsev, because the pasuk says v'nasa oil mayed. It says in the Torah that the oil mayed should travel, and we learn from here a drasha alpha pisha nasa oil mayed, that even while it's traveling, it still has a din of an oil mayed. What does it mean? It has a din of an oil mayed, that it's treated like the oil mayed, that if the lechem aponim is not on the shulchan, it's still as if it's in the oil mayed. We'll see, there's other halachas that I learned out from here as well. But it retained its status of oil mayed even while it was traveling. Thus, despite the fact that the lechem aponim were no longer on the shulchan, it did not become pasul b'yotze. But the point is, the machlekes was not when it was on the shulchan. When it was on the shulchan, everybody agrees the lechem aponim didn't become pasul b'yotze while it was traveling. The question is when it was removed from the shulchan. It's not on the shulchan. And it's traveling, meaning it's not in the oil mayed. So it seemed to be able to check off all the boxes, meet all the criteria and prerequisites to be pasul yotze. Says the Gemara, no, a chiddush of v'nasa oil mayed, that even while it's traveling, there's a din oil mayed. Thus, there is a mandama that holds that it wasn't pasul b'yotze. But the Gemara asks, v'iduch nami oksif kashayachin uken yiso. The mandama that darshins v'nasa oil mayed, what does he do with the drasha of kashayachin uken yiso? Doesn't that seem to suggest the hekish that just like when they were camped, there was a concept of yotze, when there was traveling, there was a concept of yotze as well? Says the Gemara, v'iduch yiso. Again, he flips it. Ma'bechani yosai. Ki loy mapik loy mifso. What does it mean, kashayachin uken yiso? That the halachas of Yachanu and Yiso are the same. Okay, so just like there's a concept of Yotze when they were Yachanu, there was a concept of Yotze when they were Yiso as well. What is Yotze? Yotze means it leaves the Azara. It leaves the oil mayed. It didn't leave the oil mayed. Because being that there's a halacha of the Nasa oil mayed, which teaches me, Afal Pisha Nasa oil mayed, so you could have a hekish from today till tomorrow. But at the end of the day, what do you want to learn? That being that it's not on the Shulchan, thus, it has to be possible, Yotze, but it's still in the oil mayed. And kasha yachanu would mean that it left the oil mayed. There's a chiddush of afal pisha nasa oil mayed. Ve'iduch nami, says the Gemara, haksiv nasa oil mayed. The man d'amah that says that there is a psul Yotze, what does he do with the pasuk that says v'nasa oil mayed? Doesn't it seem to suggest that as the oil mayed was traveling, it retained its status of an oil mayed, so why would it be possible? Yotze says the Gemara, who lid the golem, who does that pasuk doesn't mean from a halachic standpoint that while the oil mayed was traveling, despite the fact that it was dismantled at the time and it wasn't erected the way the Mishkan was when it was camped, still it had a halach of oil mayed. Thus, there wouldn't be absolute yotze. It means something completely different. It's just coming to teach me the formation of exactly how they were supposed to travel. The same degolim, degomachna Ephraim, the same degolim that I mentioned at the beginning of Parshas by Midbar, which described the way the Yidden camped, that was true there also. So the oil mayed was in the middle of the degolim. That's the way the golem were set up. It was true when they were camped. It was true while they were traveling as well. The man that does learn the halacha from Nasa oil mayed, he knows that the oil mayed had to be in the middle from a different pasuk. Thus, this pasuk is going to be extra. But basically, what the Gemara just said was the Gemara clarified the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chen and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shua ben Levi, whether the lechem upon him was nifsel b'yotze v'shas masoyis, was not talking about whether the lechem upon him was still misudar on the shulchan. If it was misudar on the shulchan, everybody agrees that there was no psul yotze. It's learned out from a pasuk, v'lechem atomid olav yiyah. The machlokes is when it wasn't on the shulchan. What's the shaila? On the one hand, it's not on the shulchan. It's not in the oil mayed, because the oil mayed is traveling. Thus, it should be possible yotze. The other man number says a chiddush v'nasa oil mayed afal pisha nasa oil mayed. But the Gemara says meisa. It can't be that this was a machlokes amayron, because it's a mefurish b'raisa. B'shasi look masoyz while the yidden were traveling in the midbar kachim nifsalim b'yotze. Checkmate. All the kachim became possible b'yotze v'zavin umitzayra in mishtalchem chutzle mechitzasan. A zav who's not allowed to enter machne shchino machne levia wasn't allowed to enter Machne Shechina or Machne Levia while the Yidden were traveling. The Metzora, who's not even allowed to enter Machne Yisrael, Bodod Yeshev, Michutz LaMachne, he couldn't enter Machne Yisrael even while they were traveling. But the bottom line is, what do you see in this braisa? So we need the first part. Later we'll need the second part. But for now, we need the first part of the braisa. V'shasiluk Masoyis, Kachem Nesom B'yoyis, how could it be a Machlek Zamirah? Says the Gemara, so you'll tell me, maybe it doesn't mean all Kachem. But my love, I feel the lechem aponim. Pashit, it does mean all kachim, even the lechem aponim. Loi bar mi lechem aponim. Maybe it means all kachim with the exception of lechem aponim. The freak de gemara, manav shach, I oil moyed dafkohu. If you tell me there's a psul yotze, that's because you darshin v'nasa oil moyed. I feel the kachim nami. And I oil moyed lav dafkohu. I feel the lechem aponim nami. Meaning, manav shach. What's the svara to differentiate between the lechem aponim and all kachim? Ella says the gemara, you're right. Ki yasa ravin. So if Dimi and ravin were the two chachmei Talmud Bavli that lived in Bavel had gone to Eretz Yisrael, they learned by Rabbi Yochanan, and came back with a lot of Torah that they heard from Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Dimi came back with his version of what the Machlokes is Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi was, but the Gemara just rejected that. So Ravin came back from learning in Eretz Yisrael, he came back, he said, I'm going to tell you what was going on over here. There was a machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, whether the lechem upon became possible yoytze while they were traveling. The machloikis was not b'shah, when the lechem upon was on the shulchan, because when it was on the shulchan, everybody agrees, based on a pasuk of lechem atamat aloviyah, that it didn't become possible yoytze. Machloikis was not when it was not on the shulchan, because if it was not on the shulchan, it's a mefurish b'raisa. B'shah siluk masoyis, kachim nefsalam b'yoytze. That's not the machloikis either. What then was the machloikis? There was no machloikis. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Rabbi Yochanan said one thing, Rabbi Shua said another, Levi said another thing. V'lo pligi, they weren't talking to each other, so to speak. Mara marchada u'mara marchada. Mara ma'b'mesudar. The one that said that there was no psul yotze, he was talking about when it was mesuder, when it was on the shulchan. Everybody agrees there's no psul yotze. The one that said that there was a psul yotze is talking about when it was mesulok. Zok de gemara. Amar Abaya. Abaya said from this aforementioned Shakla Vitarya, Shmamina, we can deduce a little hashtag rest of the story. And that is Yesh Siluk Masois Balaila. That when the Yidden traveled in the Midbar, the Membez Masois, they used to travel at night. Meaning they didn't dafka travel during the day, but they would sometimes travel at night. Because if you can tell me the Yidden never traveled at night, Emus Madli Litzafra. So then they traveled in the morning. Anything that you're declaring now, did it become possible, Yoytze, or did it not become possible, Yoytze? Tepik London, if so, Labalina was anyways possible, Lina. You have a braisa. B'shasiluk ma'asoyis kachim nefsalam b'yoytze. So, Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, they were discussing it in the context of the lechem upon it. But really, it's a more broad general shayla. B'shasiluk ma'asoyis, yapsul Yoytze, or napsul Yoytze. Says Abaya, that lechura, where is it ever negated, the psul Yoytze? They traveled in the morning? And by the time the morning came around, there was already a psolina. So anything that we're clearing now, whether it is possible, Yaitse, is not possible, Yaitse, is anyways possible because of Lina. Oh, must be, said Abai, they used to travel sometimes at night. So if they traveled at night, the psolina doesn't happen for most kachim until Alois HaShachar. So there is no psul yina. The question is it possible yoytze? Or is it not possible yoytze? But the Gemara says, Pshita, what's the shayla? Lo leches yoyman v'layluxif. Isn't it a pasuk in the Torah? They used to travel at night and they used to travel during the day. So the Gemara says, no. Because ma'adot tema would have told hanimili heichad da'okur b'yamah. They always started traveling during the day. So once they started traveling during the day, sometimes they would travel into the night. But if they didn't start traveling during the day, maybe you never start traveling at night. Kamash Malan, Abaye said, it's muchach from here that they used to start traveling sometime as night as well. And what's the raya? Because if they never traveled at night, then lechura, anything that you're clearing should maybe be possible, yoytze, is anyways going to be possible. Tosfos asks a very obvious question. Tosfos says that maybe they traveled only during the day, and still it would be Nageya, they started traveling at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't have Solina, and you have Solyaitse. If you started traveling Dafka first thing in the morning, so then anything that you're clearing should maybe be possible, Yaitse would anyways have been possible, Lina. Zabai is making a nice cheshbon. But maybe they only travel during the day, not at night, but they would travel sometimes in the middle of the day. So Tosfos, at the bottom, Tosfos has two terutzim, and the second teretz Tosfos says is that maybe it was Poshet Habaya that they would start traveling either first thing in the morning or the first thing at night. So they would wake up, Fartugs, and that's when they would start traveling. Literally, Fasikin, that's when they travel. So to say that they started traveling 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's where it's negated the psul yoytze, despite the fact there's no psulina, that's not possible. Because the masois that happened in the midbar, again, hashtag rest of the story, happened first thing in the morning. Abaye was mechiach from our sugya that it happened at night as well. But it's either first thing in the morning or first thing at night. Regardless, so the Gemara had brought this brayse of a shas. Siluk Masoyis Kachem Nefsalim B'yoytze, and we brought it to prove one side in this machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi regarding the lechem upon him, whether it became possible B'yoytze B'shas Siluk Masoyis, And Bederech Agav, the Braisa had said another halacha, and that was V'zovin u'mitzayroim mishtalchen chutz l'michitzas. While the Yidden were traveling, so you had the machanois that was set up in the midbar, the zovin and the mitzayroim had to be sent out of their respective machanois. Right, the Gemara, is that true? Ravini, I'll ask you a kasha. Hugluluah paroiches. As soon as the paroiches of the Mishkan was rolled up, hutru hazovin u'mitzayroim likanas l'sham. The mitzayra and the zov were allowed to enter the place where the Oyel Moed was. You see clearly that while they're traveling, once the Pereiches is rolled up, at that point, it's already, all bets are off. Anyone can enter wherever they want to enter. How does that shtim with the Braisa that we just mentioned? I'm Rav Ashi Loi Kasha. It doesn't shtim. Ha Rabbi Leza, ha Rabbi. I'm going to the Braisa. Leza, Rabbi Leza says, Yachal dachku zavin umitzayro menichlesu lazaro bepesach apapetoma. What would be if Roiv of Klai Yisrael was Tomei? So we know the halacha, Tomei hutru betzibur, Tomei tchuyu betzibur, the Rabban Paskins, Tomei tchuyu betzibur, despite the fact throughout Shas, you always refer to the sugya as the sugya of Tomei hutru betzibur. But regardless, so there's a halacha that Pesach is Baba Tomei. If Roiv of Klai Yisrael is Tomei, you could still bring Karbonai Tzibur. The Karbon Pesach has a din of a Karbon Tzibur. So the Karbon Pesach was brought. Said Rabbi Eliezer, what would be if Roiv of Klai Yisrael was Tomei, and it's Yud Daled Nisan, and they're bringing the Karbon Pesach, and a Zavim and a Metzaira enters the Azara. Now, ordinarily, if a Zavim and Metzaira enters the Azara, he's Chayiv Karis. Says Rabbi Eliezer, in this case, being that Roiv of Klai Yisrael is Tomei and the Karbon Pesach is being brought for Tomei, this halacha does not apply. Yochel Yehu Chayavin Karis Talmud Loimar Vayishalchum in a Machane called Sorua V'chol Zav V'chol Tomei LaNefesh. The Torah seems to equate the Tzorua, that's the Metzorah, the Zav and the Tomei Mace. So he darshan did Rabbi Eliezer b'shoshet Tomei Mace mishtalchin. When the Tomei Mace was not allowed to enter the Azara, then there's halacha that Zavin u'mitzayra in mishtalchin. Ain't Tomei Mace mishtalchin, ain't Zavin u'mitzayra mishtalchin. So Rabbi Eliezer says a chiddush that the only time a Zavin and a mitzayra are not allowed to enter their respective machanos, it's only if a Tomei Mace is also not allowed to enter. So for example, Pesach Abba B'tumma, where it's nischadish that the Tomei Mace is entering the Mokam HaMikdash, so there's a halacha that even the Zavin and mitzayra are allowed to, or at the very least, they're not going to be chayiv karas. So, the same token says the Gemara. Rashi explains this at deep length. Top Rashi on the Amid that huglulu aparoiches. Now there's no issa for the tummy maze to enter because there's no paroiches anymore. If there's no issa for the tummy maze to enter, there's going to be no issa for the zav and the mitzayra to enter either. So the price that says huglulu aparoiches hutra zav and the mitzayra only konis l'sham, that's going to coin trouble. Yes, just like the zav and the mitzayra are allowed to enter when it's a pesach abba tumah, so too they're allowed to enter when it's huglulu aparoiches. The first price that said that b'shas siluk masois, where clearly there was no paroiches, zavin u'mitzayra im mishtalchen chutzlan b'chitzosam, that's going according to the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Eliezer right here, exhale. So just to speak out one ha'ara, before we go weiter, and the Gemara shifts, me'inyin le'inyin, ba'isa'inyin, more about the shtei alechem and the lechem upon him, but a new sugya. So the Gemara mentioned the idea of the Yidden camping in the Midbar, the formation, the Dgalim, Kasha Yachanu Ken Yisrael, when they would travel, they were in the same formation, and a discussion in the Gemara whether the Dgalim and the camp of the Yidden retained its status of Machanois while it was traveling as it had while it was resting. And the Gemara, two nafkiminas l'alacha. Number one, with regards to psul yotzei. Number two, with regards to a zav and a mitzayra and all the tmeyim that have halachos of which machanos they are allowed to and not allowed to enter, whether those halachos were true b'shas siluk masois or those halachos were not true b'shas siluk masois. But that's, of course, all predicated on the idea that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, there were machanos. There was machne shchina, there was machne levia, there was machne Yisrael. Being that there was machne shchina, there was a shayla, lechem aponim, that left machne shchina. Is it possible yotze? Is it not possible yotze? Being that there was a machne levia, there was a shayla. Is he allowed to enter machne levia, or is he not allowed to enter machne levia? Being that there was a machne Yisrael, there was a question of mitzayra. Is he allowed to enter machne Yisrael, or is he not allowed to enter machne Yisrael? So what were these three machanos when the Yidden were in the Midbar? So the Rambam in Hilchos Beis Abchira, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Aleph, he sets it up very beautifully. Says the Rambam, Sholesh Machanois Ho Yisrael Bamidbar. There were three Machanois that the Yidden had when they were in the Midbar. Machne Yisrael, Vehi Arba Machanois, those are the four Machanois. Each Machana was made up of three, those were the Dgalim. Umachane Leviya, Shenemar Ba V'Soviv L'Mishkan Yachano, that's where the Leviim live, that's where they camped, which was Sof of the Mishkan. Umachane Shechina, and it was Machane Shechina, v'himi Pesach, Chotzer, Oyel Moed, v'lefnev. So Machane Shechina was from the Oyel Moed inside, that was the Mishkan. Machne Leviyah was Soviv LeMishkan. It was called Machne Leviyah because that's where the Leviyim lived. And Machne Yisrael, that's where the rest of Klal Yisrael lived. Who connected with Doris, says the Rambam. Connected these three Machnes that existed in the Midbar, you would have the same three Machnes LeDoris. Mi Pesach Yerushalayim Ad Har Abayis K'Machne Yisrael. So what's Machne Yisrael? It's only Yerushalayim. It's Mi Pesach Yerushalayim, the old city, the Altstadt, up until the Har Abayis. Mi Pesach Har Abayis Ad Pesach HaAzorah Shushar Nikner K'Machne Leviyah. What's Machne Leviyah? It's the Har Abayis up until Shar Nichner, meaning up until the Azara. Now, Machne Leviyah is called Machne Leviyah because in the Midbar, Machne Leviyah is where the Leviyim lived. The Leviyim didn't live in the Har Abayis when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael. The Yidden lived in the Leviyim lived in the Membez Ariel Levi, and they lived in the Ari Miklat, but it's a borrowed name. It was called Machne Leviyah in the Midbar. Thus, the Har Abayis is referred to as Machne Leviyah even when the Yidden were in Eretz Yisrael. Umipesach ha'azor v'lefnei Machne Shechina. So it says the Rambam, there were three Machanos when the Yidden were in the Midbar. Ukinegdom, you have these same three Machanos. Le'edairis. I'll tell you one interesting ha'ara. And the Kasha is the Tashbitz's Kasha, Remeir Simcha, and Meshech Chachma discusses it right in the beginning of Parashas Bamidbar. We just learned the Gemara that the Zav was not allowed to enter Machne Leviyah. And the truth is, the Gemara darshins, not only a Zav wasn't allowed to enter Machne Leviyah, but any person that's Tomei because of Tumah that was Yoytzei Migufay, a Nida, a Balkeri, a Zava, they're all in this Rabba, in this Halacha, that they were not allowed to enter Machne Leviyah. Freik the Tashbitz Akasha. If a Balkeri is not allowed to enter Machne Leviyah, how was a Levi allowed to be Meshamesh Mitasim when he was in the Midbar? The Levim lived in Machne Leviyah. Tashmesh Amita would make the Levi a Balkeri. If that's the case, there's Halacha, the Yishalcha Mena Machna, it's Chayv Karas, not allowed to be in Machne Leviyah. So the Tashbitz asked, as a Tamiya Gedoyle, the Achreinim quote this Kasha, that he doesn't understand, Heich Shimshu HaLeviyah Mitoyseim. For all the years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, L'chura, L'acha Tashmesh, they would become a Balkeri. And if they're a Machne Leviyah, a Balkeri is not allowed to be a Machne Leviyah. And Meir Simcha said, classic, in the beginning of Bamidbar, the second piece in Sefer Bamidbar, of Gevaldige Chiddush, and he says that Vaistois, that not all the Leviyim really lived in Machne Leviyah. And we have a little bit of a misunderstanding. He learns it up in the Psukim. The Pasuk says that Hashem tells Moshe, V'ata hafgides ha-Leviyin al-Mishkan ha-Edos, v'al kol kelev, v'al kol ha-Shaloi, heima yisu es ha-Mishkan, v'es kol kelev, v'hem yisharsu. So he's talking about the Leviyim that are going to be in charge of watching the Mishkan. V'soviv la-Mishkan yachanu. Where should they live? They should live soviv la-Mishkan. This is Bamidbar Perek Aleph Pasuk Nun. Three Psukim later, Pasuk Nun Gimel, v'ha-Leviyim yachanu. Soviv l'mishkan ha'edos. The Torah says again, the Leviim live soviv l'mishkan ha'edos. And Rav Simcha's bothered. Why does there have to say it twice? In pasuk nun v'soviv l'mishkan yachanu. And then the pasuk says again, in pasuk nun gimel v'aleviim yachanu soviv l'mishkan ha'edos. Says Rav Simcha, he thinks there were two dinim. There were the Leviim that lived in Machne Leviyah. They lived soviv l'mishkan yachanu. Their job was to watch the Mishkan, and they had to live in Machne Leviyah, which was soviv l'mishkan. And then there were the Leviim that weren't watching the Mishkan, the families of Levim, or any Levi that wasn't on duty at that very given time. Where did he live? That's Pasuk Nun Gimel. V'aleviyim yachanu soviv l'mishkan ha'edos. He explains why the first Pasuk doesn't say ha'edos, the second Pasuk does say ha'edos. Ayin Shom, classic Meshech Chachma, Dvarim Nifla. But the bottom line is, Ezra Meir Simcha, there were two parts. There was the part that really had a din Machne Leviyah, and then there was the other part. Ezra Meir Simcha, what was that other part? It was Machne Leviyah. It was Machne Yisrael. It wasn't Machne Leviyah. So he says that Rashi brings the Chumash based on a Medrash Rabbah, that there were 2,000 amah. There was a mill, a shir tchum Shabbos between Machne Yisrael and Machne Leviyah. And says Rav Meir Simcha, at first glance, it's tzarech bir. Why did they have to have that tchum between Machne Yisrael and Machne Leviyah? What was the point of it? It was a Machne Yisrael and it was a Machne Leviyah. So who lived there? What was the purpose of it? It was nice landscaping. What was the purpose of having that tchum Shabbos? Says Rav Meir Simcha, that's where the Leviim, that the families of Leviim lived. That's where it was mutter l'shamash mitayseim. It wasn't Machne Yisrael because the Leviim weren't part of Machne Yisrael. But at the same time, it wasn't Machne Leviyah. That was that second chelek. So the sub of the Mishkan Yachanu, that's the Machne Leviyah. Who lived there? Those are Leviim whose job it was to watch the Mishkan. Heima Yisu as a Mishkan that's called Kelev Heim Yisharsu. The Vahaleviyim Yachanu Sovav a Mishkan Eidos. That's the Alpayim Amar. Meir Simcha brings in Eben Ezra. We all know that Dasan and Aviram and many members of Shevet Reuven, they got fachapt in Korach's rebellion against Moshe and Aharon. Chazal say, why did they get fachapt? Because it was Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shechena. And it says Ramei Simcha, and really it's an Evan Ezra, that at first glance it's Tzarech Bir. How did they get fachapt? What was the Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shechena? There was a lot of distance between the two of them. There was 2,000 Amos between them. That's almost a mile. There was a lot of space between them. So what does that mean that there was an Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shechena? Says Ramei Simcha, Haflav Avela. Because they were living there. Only the Levim lived in Machne Levi. It was only the Levim that were watching the Mishmeres HaKodesh. They were living in Machne. Everybody else lived to the contrary, in that Tchum. That Tchum was right next to the Degol. They were next to Shevet Reuven, Degol Machne Reuven, and as a result, they got Fachap. That was the Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shechena. But the point is, says Meir Simcha, not all the Levim lived in Machne Levim. It was only the Levim whose job it was to do what they had to do. In terms of the other Levim, they didn't live there. Being that they didn't have to live there, Meir Simcha says, as the Gemara Masechtas Tamid, that the Gemara Darshan's a Pasuk, Moshe ze Machne Levim. Says Meir Simcha, what does Moshe have to do with Machne Levim? Says Meir Simcha, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was Pirish, Me Ishtai, so too, Machne Levia was a place that was off limits. Says Chazal would be Megalitas, and that one word, Moshe Zeh Machne Levia, that Machne Levia was off limits. If Machne Levia, so then where did all the Leviam live? They lived in that chum, that Alpai Mama that was in between. But I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, right here on this Pasuk, by Midbar Perak Al Pasuk Nun, he says that he found a Mitziah in the Radal's Pirish on Pirkut Rebbe Eliezer. It's a long piece, but just Toich Dvar of one line. Says the Radal, the ain't tzarech shiluach ela mimachna leviya, kidetanya bepsachim daf samaches. V'haleviyim, one line. V'haleviyim tzarech loymar, he doesn't quote the Tashbetz, certainly doesn't quote Remeir Simcha, before Remeir Simcha. But anyway, it says, V'haleviyim tzarech loymar, shayushruyim b'machane, seyem, b'loy neshaseh. The Leviyim, they lived in Machna leviya, obviously they were living without their wives. Where did their wives live? V'nesheyem b'oholeyem hoyu b'machne Yisrael. Their wives lived in Machna Yisrael. So it was only the Leviyim, the Scharim, the males that lived in Machne Shechina, as far as their wives go, he's bothered also, what about Tumas Nida? How would a woman be allowed to live in Machne Levia? She's going to become a Nida. It's going to be a problem. So says the Radal, must be the women lived in Machne Levia. It's literally Moshe. They were Pirish Menesha Seim. They were living in two different Machnas. But either way, whether the Peshat is like the Meshech Chachma, that the families lived in the Alpayim Amo that was between Machne Yisrael and Machne Levia, or whether the Peshat is like the Radal, that the men lived in Machne Levia, but the wives lived in Machane Yisrael, just a little bit of interesting rest of the story that comes out of this Gemara. Zok de Mishnah, weiter, achas shtei alechem, achas lechem aponim. So whether the Kohanim were preparing the shtei alechem that was born on Shavuos, or they were preparing the lechem aponim that was brought midei Shabbos b'Shabbatai, lishason v'arichasam b'chot. So where was it prepared? That's the discussion of this Mishnah. Where exactly was it prepared? We're baking bread. It requires a lot of work. Where was the preparation done? So the first sheet in the Mishnah is Lishasan, the kneading, V'arichasan, the forming of the breads, B'chutz, was done outside of the Azara, V'afiyasan, but the baking of them was done B'fnim. Additionally, V'einon doiches es HaShabbos. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama, that there was a chiluk between the Lisha and the Aricha on the one side, the Afi on the other side. Lishasan, V'arichasan, B'chutz, Afiyasan, B'fnim. You don't remember this is Choma saying B'fnim. No, all the preparation was done B'fnim. Shimon Omer, Shimon says, just the opposite. Lo'olam heviraga lo'imar. You should be accustomed to saying, Shtei HaLechem, V'lechem HaPonim, K'sheres Ba'azara, U'K'sheres Be'beis Pagi. Beis Pagi was a place in Yerushalayim. The point is that we seem to have a three-way machlokes. The Tanakhama says, Lishasan, V'arichasan, B'chutz, Afiyasan, B'fnim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Maseim B'fnim. Reb Shimon, as in Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, said that Shtei Halechem Alechem Aponim Ksheirois Ba'azara Ukshereis Bebeis Pagi, meaning everything was able to be done. Bachot Freit the Gemara Hagu Fakasha, the Tanakama, who differentiates between Lisha and Aricha and Afia. Malavshach. Lishasim Barichasim Bachotz would seem to suggest Alma Midas Yavesh Leinis Gacha, that the Midas that were used to measure the amount of soilus, the isaroin that we learned so much about last week, the midas that we used to measure the soilus that was going to be used for the lechem aponim and the shtei alechem, did not have kedusha. How do you know that? Because if you were able to do the lisha and the afiyah bachutz, that means at the point of the lisha and the afiyah, the mincha had no kedusha. If it had no because if it had kedusha, it wouldn't be allowed to be bachutz. It would be possible yaitze. If it was allowed to be bachutz, means it wasn't possible yoytze, it means it wasn't niskadesh, it means that it wasn't measured in a klisharis. So the midas hayavish were not klisharis. But then the Mishnah says, Vafiyasam b'fnim. It has to be inside. Why would it have to be inside? Presumably, because if it's outside, it will be possible. I'd say, I'm a Midas Yavish Niskacha. See, you see the Midas Yavish were Niskacha. So were the Midas Yavish Niskacha, or were they not Niskacha? From the fact that you could do the Lisha and the Aricha Bachotz, so you see that that Midah that measured in Isarain did not have Kedusha. From the fact that you have to bake it with Nim, you see that the Tanor did have Kedusha. Now, we're talking about two different Midas. One is the Isarain. The other one is the Taner. But Hatzad HaShava Shavahen is they're both Midas Yavish. And the Gemara thinks that all the Midas HaYavish should be consistent. So either they had Kedusha or they didn't have Kedusha. So the Gemara says, what's going on here? Amar Rabba or Amar Rava Hiksha Adam Kasha Shu Kasha Kabarzel. He says, you know, this Kasha is such a good Kasha that I know someone, he's Kasha Kabarzel. He's a Charith. He's an Oikaharim. He's a super duper London. And even he didn't know the answer. Umanoi, who was this grace in London that didn't know how to explain this Mishnah, Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes didn't understand Pshat. But the Gemara says, Rava, Rav Sheshes, the Gemara, why is it such a kasha? My kasha, Dumi Yisorin, Lemi Kaddish, Tanah Mekaddish. You're right, there's a tzad hashava between the Midas Yisorin and the Tanah. They're both Midas Hayavish, but they're not the same Midas Hayavish. So maybe there's a chilek between the Yisorin and the Tanah. The Gemara says, you're right. Eli, Ikasha, Hakash. The Gemara immediately dismisses the question. This is not a kasha, and this can't be what Rava was referring to when he said that there was an Adam that was kasha kibarzel that didn't know pshat in this. Rather, the kasha was something else. The Mishnah says, v'afiyasam b'fnim, that the afiyah had to be b'fnim, the shita of the Tana Kama, al matana mekadesh. Clearly, the Tana was mekadesh. Thus, if you're going to bake it b'chutz, it's going to be possible yoytze. The problem is, the Mishnah also said in the same breath, v'ein doiches es ha-shabbos, that the afiyah is not doiches shabbos. That means you're going to have to bake it on Friday. So if you're going to bake it in a klishare, it's bifnim, on Erev Shabbos, what's going to happen when Shabbos comes around? It's going to be possible lina. Once it's on the shulchan, there's no psalina. But it's not on the shulchan until Shabbos. So the chura, at that point, it's going to be possible lina. That was the kasha. And Omar Rava heard the kasha and he commented, Hiksha Adam kasha shu kasha kabarzel umani Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, who was kasha kabarzel, didn't even know an answer to this guy. Omar Rav Ashi said, my kushya, why is it a kasha? Dilma, maimi bifnim, but makam's reason. Maybe when the Tana Kama says that Afia was bifnim, he didn't mean literally bifnim. He meant that the people that work bifnim, who works in the Azara, the Kayhanim, the Meshar Se Hashem, they're the ones that had to do the Afiyah. And the reason they would have to do the Afiyah is because there's reason. So what? Zok Tehillah Rashi, being that there's reason, they'll be careful, Shaloh Yach, it's two words, they'll be careful that it doesn't become Chametz, because the Lechem Aponim couldn't become Chametz. But not that it had to be, it really didn't have to be Bifnim. It didn't have to be Bifnim, it wasn't possible. Yeah, I'd say there was no Klisharis, that's what wouldn't be possible Lina either. What does it mean, afiyasa b'fnim? It means it had to be done with kohanim. But the Gemara says, v'adu Rav Ashi berusi. Because man of shach, why would there be a halacha that the afiyah needs to be overseen by kohanim? Because there's reason they're going to know to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. It sounds like only the afiyah, not the lisha and the aricha. Because the lisha and the aricha could be b'chutz. And we're defining finim and chutz now not as physically where it is geographically, but rather who's presiding over the process. Kohanim that has reason and they'll make sure shalo yachmet, or ordinary people. So, afraid the Gemara Malav Shach. Afia beinon's reason. If the afia requires reason, lisha v'aricha nami beinon's reason. Because it, the doke become chametz during the lisha and the aricha as well. The lisha v'aricha loy beinon's reason. And if the lisha and the aricha doesn't require reason, afia nami loy beinon's reason. Ella says the Gemara Rav Ashi Berusi. Because you can maybe kvetch and say that when it says bifnim, it doesn't mean literally bifnim. It means the kayhanim that work bifnim. But at the end of the day, how are you going to explain why the afia needed kayhanim and the if you're worried about it becoming chametz, thus you feel that the process needs to be overseen by kehanim, then the lisha and the aricha should have to be overseen by kehanim as well. Before we go weiter, just two short ha'aris. The first short ha'aris, so why would you need kehanim's reason? Shalo yachmetz. Chasam Sofer in a tshuva, it's tshuva kuf chav hei. So last week, we spoke about tshuva kuf chav zayin. That was one of the Chasam Sofer's two tshuvas when he spoke about the tzlachs chiddush, the noida b'yehuda's chiddush about shiur. Here too, he brings a noida b'yehuda. He brings that the noida b'yehuda brings a kasha from the Baal Or Chadosh. So Or Chadosh was a big Eloi, he was a guy in Olam. And the Rebbe asked that the Gemara over here entertained the Tzad. Rav Ashi said that maybe when the Tana Kama said that the Afiyah has to be b'fnim, it doesn't mean physically b'fnim, but it means it should be presided by Kayanim. Why? Because you have to make sure that it doesn't become chametz, and the kehanim has reason, though, be careful, shalo yachmetz. Lashon Rashi. Freik the Or Chadosh, the Mishnah is discussing two types of breads. Achas shtei halechem v'achas lechem aponim. Those are the opening words of the Mishnah. Now, the lechem aponim had to be matzah, like almost all menachas did. But we know there were two menachas that were chametz. 10 of the 40 breads of the lachmei toida and the shtei halechem. So Frek, the Ar Chadosh, and the Noida Behuda brings the kasha. He said that I don't understand Rashi. You're telling me you would need kayanim shalo yachmetz to make sure that the lechem aponim didn't become chametz? That would explain why the lechem aponim has to be befnim. Al yidei kayanim that has reason. But what about the shtei halechem? The shtei halechem is just the opposite. The shtei halechem had to be chametz. Then the Loshin that the Chassam Sofer brings, he says, V'harav ha-goyin ha-mechaber ana. He's referring to the Neid Behuda, Kosov al-zeh. The Yehuda brings the Kasha from the Archadosh. He says, Hiksha Adam Kosha Kibarzo. Referring to the Archadosh. So Archadosh was a well-known Charif. Nice play on words. So he says, the Archadosh, who was Kosha Kibarzo, said he has a Kasha on Ravashi's Teretz, to Akasha, the Rav Sheshes, who was Kosher Kabarzel, right? Didn't know. Regardless, Umamish like Teretz Klum. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. He says, he didn't say an answer. Umamish like Teretz Klum. Says the Chassam Sofer, thinks the Kasha is a Toyus Gadol. He says, Umamish doesn't understand how the Noida Behuda and the Archadosh didn't know the answer to this Kasha. Why? Because just as it's important to make sure that the Lechem HaPadim did not become Chametz, it's equally as important to make sure that the Shtei HaLechem did become Chametz. So says the Chassam Sofer, it's true, Rashi said Shelo Yachmetz. Rashi was explaining one half of the coin. But it's Pashit Me'elov, says the Chassam Sofer, that Zil Basar Taima, you can apply the same exact formula to the Shtei HaLechem as well. You would need Kayanim's reason to the Shtei HaLechem to make sure that it did not become Chametz. And says the Chassam Sofer, you would need the Kayanim's reason for the Shtei HaLechem to make sure that it did become Chametz. Either way, that's the first R. Second R is, it's interesting that the Gemara over here refers to Rav Sheshes as an Adam Kasha, Shehu Kasha Kabarzim. So Rav Sheshes was a big Charif. He was an Ikahara. We know a lot about Rav Sheshes. Tosfos speaks out in Masechtas Erevin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, that whenever there's a machloikus between Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda, the halacha is like Rav Sheshes. Why? Based on another Gemara, Masechtas Erevin, Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says Rav Chisda, Rav Sheshes, ki havi pagi adadi, when they would meet each other, they would encounter, they would both be afraid to talk to each other and learning. They would treisel. Rav Chisda mirtas sifsase mi masis Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisda was afraid. He was intimidated by Rav Sheshes because Rav Sheshes was such a baki. He knew so much Torah. He was afraid to talk to him in learning because he thought that any svara, any supalumdis, any two dinim that he's going to tell him gavra chepza, he's going to have a tesefta somewhere a Yerushalmi. He's going to frag him up. For Rav Sheshes mirta kuli gufim mipapulit Rav Chisda, and Rav Sheshes was afraid to talk to Rav Chisda learning because he was such a ikar harem. So he was afraid that Rav Chisda would tell Rav Sheshes, "This is how you understood it. Nah, there's lumdis here. There's oimik. There's deep guy." Bottom line is, they were afraid to talk to each other. He says Tosfos in Erev and Daf Mem Amud Aleph. You see from this Gemara, Rav Sheshes was a big baki, Rav Chisda was a big lam. Rav Sheshes was a Sinai, Rav Chisda was an oikar. The Gemara says, and then the Masechtas Hayri is Sinai v'oikaharim. Who's Adif? And the Gemara comes out that the Sinai is Adif. Oh, if the Sinai is Adif, the halacha is like Rav Sheshes. The Chavis Yoyer, in a simon that we always refer to, in Simon Tzadik Dalit. So he brings this Tosfos, Rav Sheshes v'Rav Chisda, halacha k'Rav Sheshes. Tosfos Erev and Daf Mem. That's where it's mavur that Rav Sheshes was the Sinai and Rav Chisda was the Eikar Harim. You don't need that. The Gam Rav Sheshes Hayachar of Gadol. Rav Sheshes wasn't also a big lamdim. I literally went to the Chavis Yar knowing he was going to say this. It was posh to me. Opened up the Chavis Yar, Rav Sheshes, Rav Chisda, and he brought this Gemara, Menachis. Either way, there's a lot of klolim here at the Chavis Yar. So if you go through it, you'll see it's. And either way, that is another ha'ara, another takeaway from this Gemara. Zok the Gemara vayte, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol maseim b'fnim. So the first sheet of the Mishnah is the Tanakama. The Tanakama is mechalek between the Lisha and the Aricha of the Shtei Alechem and Alechem Abonim, which was done b'chutz, and the Afia, which was done b'fnim. And as the Gemara said, it comes out of very big chiddush, because the Isara, which was a midas hayavish, it means was loynis gacha, therefore it could be done machutz. There's no psul yaitse, as opposed to the Tanner, which was also a midas hayavish, it was nis gacha. Stating that, there were two other opinions in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said, kol maseim b'fnim. Rabbi Shimon said, kol maseim b'chutz. Om Rabba vo bar kahano, v'shei mikra echadarshu. Both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda learned their respective opinions from the same pasuk. And this is a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph. The pasuk says, "V'hu derechoyl v'afki hayoyim yikdash bekeli." The context over there is David HaMelech is running away from Shaul. Yehoinasan, Shaul's son, tells David that his father Shaul is trying to kill him. He runs away. He ends up in Noiv. Noiv Ir HaKoyanim. Comes into the city of Noiv. He meets the Kohen Gadol, Achimelech, and he tells him that he's starving. He ran away. Tells him a story of why exactly he's running away. He was afraid to say that he was a fugitive of the king. Regardless, tells him he needs some food. And they tell him there in the Mishkan that they don't have any food. The only thing they have is the Lechem Aponim. So David HaMelech says, it's fine. I can eat from the Lechem Aponim. And this is the beginning of that exchange. So David HaMelech sees the Lechem Aponim, and the Pasuk is describing something related to the Lechem Aponim as V'hu derech choyl V'afki hayoyim yikdash bekeli. Says the Gemara the rest of the story. Ashkechinu deka afule. David HaMelech saw the Kehanim baking the Lechem Aponim. Amaluhu derech choyl meaning, he told him, Rabbi Yehuda did that, Rabbi HaMelech did the way Rabbi Yehuda understands it, that how are you doing it outside? This is something that has to be done inside. Meaning, if you're going to do it outside, you're going to run into issues. That's what he was trying to say. Meaning, it had to be done b'fnit. Rabbi Shimon Savar, it was just the opposite. He didn't see them doing it b'chayil, but rather he saw them doing it on Shabbos. B'Shabbos ashkechinu d'ka'afalei. Amalosi, he told him, loy derechol b'isul l'mevdei. This is not something you're supposed to do on Shabbos. It's something you're supposed to do during the week. Because midu tana mekadesh, shulchan u'da mekadesh. It's the shulchan that's mekadesh. In other words, there's a shiloh whether they were baking it on Shabbos or they were baking it b'chayil. The tzad that they would have been baking it on Shabbos is because they would have been baking it b'fnim. It required a klisharis, thus they couldn't bake it b'chol because it would have been possible b'lina. The tzad that they would have been doing it during the week is because they would have been doing it b'kli chol, and as a result, there would not be a psul lina. Regardless, either way, David HaMelech saw them doing it the wrong way. Shaila is what the wrong way was. Mark Kedisle, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they had their positions respectively. But the Gemara says that when David HaMelech came, he saw the Kayhanim baking the Lechem upon him. Is it possible that they were baking Lechem upon him? Because if the pasuk says, "Va'yitin le'akoyin kodesh, ki lo yhoyesham lechem, ki im lechem upon him, hamusar milifnei Hashem," they ended up giving him the Lechem upon him, because all they had was the Lechem upon him. Clearly, they had Lechem upon him. That means they weren't baking it. Ella says the Gemara, "My derechol deko amalu hachikom." The exchange must have been something else. They told him, "Leko lechem, we don't have any bread. Kiyam lechem upon him, hamusarim lufnei Hashem. We have the Lechem upon him that was removed from the shulchan." Amalu, so David HaMelech told them, "It's fine. Even though the Lechem upon him is kodesh kadoshim, and even though I'm not a koye, not even a levi, David HaMelech is from Shevet Yehuda, but at the same time, he said I'm allowed to eat it because loy mi bayahai." Let me buy a whole lumdis. The lechem upon him that was already removed from the shulchan. Keep it in afikle. Mi meila derechol. Once it was removed from the shulchan, there's no meila anymore. And if there's no meila, it's not so chomer. I could certainly eat it. Afilu heichnami dayoy mikdash bekli. But even the lechem upon him that's on the shulchan right now, which is much more chomer because it's still subject to the laws of meila. Havulei the lechel. Even then, I'm allowed to eat. Why? Because mesukan who? Because David HaMelech said he's a mesukan. Rashi says. David HaMelech was achzay bulmes. Regardless, he said he's allowed to eat it. Says the Gemara. Bottom line is, what do you see from here? That David HaMelech did not come while they were baking the lechem upon him. There was already prepared lechem upon him. That means that drasha of who derech choyl afki ayoyim yikdash bekli can't be the source of the machloikas of Reb Shimon, whether you're supposed to bake the lechem upon him dafka on Friday, dafka on Shabbos, dafka in a klisharis, dafka not in a klisharis, yapsul yoytze, nopsul yoytze, yapsul lina, nopsul lina. It's a little confusing. But rather, so what is the source? What is the makar to the machloikas of the Gemara of Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, the Gemara pligi? The arguing over a Gemara, meaning over a Messiah, Dekanami, Diktani, Reb Shimon, Oimer. What was Reb Shimon's lashon in the Mishnah? La'olam heavy rogel Oimer. You should always be accustomed to say, Shtei Alechem, Alechem upon him, Ksheirois be'azora, Uksheiros abeis pagi, Shema mina. What do you see from there? So Rashi says, the lashon of La'olam heavy rogel Oimer sounds like this is a Messiah of some sorts. This was a tradition. This is something that was transmitted from generation to generation. It was based on a pasuk. You wouldn't preface it with the words, La'olam heavy rogel. Either way, usually when you talk about David HaMelech and Noiv Ira Kehanim, it's in the context of Nebuch, what happened? One of the low points of Jewish history. Of course, Shaul HaMelech finds out that the Kohanim had helped David HaMelech, and from there, the entire city of Noiv ended up being killed. The instigator was Doeg HaDoimi. Thus, Doeg goes down as one of the Elu She'in Lam Chelek Leilam Abba. In the Mishnah of the beginning of Perek Chelek, and there's so much Haggadah, Doeg HaDoimi, who becomes the symbol of someone who spoke Lashon Hara and created a tremendous amount of Churban. The Gemara talks about the greatness of Doeg HaDoimi, how great he was in learning. So there's so much to take out of the story of Noiv Era Kehanim, of David HaMelech and Shaul. This is certainly a more technical aspect, a more kachim, a more menachistiga aspect, where the Gemara suggested that it could be this was the Makar to the machlokes from Yehuda and Reb Shimon, exactly how the lechem upon him were prepared, when exactly they were prepared. Either way, before we end this morning's daf, I just wanted to go back to one thing that we spoke about in the previous daf, one ha'ara, and that is, we mentioned the halachas of smicha. And the Mishnah said, takeif l'smicha shchita. So we digressed, and now we're going to digress from our digression, but it's interesting. So the Gemara said in brachas, daf mem bei zamen aleph, the amarav chia barashi amarav sholish tkifay sein. There are three things where you have this halach of takeif. Takeif l'smicha shchita, takeif l'geula tefillah, that's the idea of being soymech geula l'tefillah, takeif l'netilas yadayim bracha, which means that right after a person washes my machreinim, he's supposed to bench. Incidentally, I saw in the Ben Yoyada, he brings from the Arizal, that somebody came to the Arizal once and he told him that he had pain in his shoulder. And there was nothing he can do, physical therapy, this, that, the other thing, it wasn't working. He said he had no way of getting rid of his pain of his shoulder. And the Arizal told him that maybe he's not careful enough to immediately after he washes my machreinim to bench. And he said that if you'll do that, you'll see you're going to have a refuah. And he said it's merumis because the oisiyos of tekaf are also the oisiyos of kosef. So takeif is immediate, kasev is a shoulder, the kachav. But either way, so the Gemara said three halachos. Shalosh tkifa is saying, Amar Abaya. Abaya said, Afanunayim. I want to add a fourth. Takeif l'tamidei chachamim brach. Says Rashi, what does it mean, takeif l'tamidei chachamim? Hamakrivay elav u'ma'archa deveisai. If somebody has a Talmud Chacham in his house, he brings him to his table. Hachnas asarchim with a Talmud Chacham, it brings bracha. Two psokim. Shenema v'yivarcheni Hashem b'glolich. This week's parasha, that Yaakov Avinu lived in Beis Lavan, and Lavan had tremendous bracha from it. That the Beis HaMitzri had tremendous bracha, Beglal Yosef. We spoke out from the Chidah. It was takeoff. Immediately after Yosef entered the Beis Mitzri, Vayivarech Hashem es Beis HaMitzri, Beglal Yosef. Vayihi Birchas Hashem b'chol ashe yeshle b'bayis u'basada. So we mentioned, what's the sheer takeoff? So it's brought down in Allah, it's brought down in Erechaim Simon Kuf Samach Vav. It's a sheer Chaf based Amos, and it's based on the Tosfos and Zvachan Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, really based on Kachim Sugyas, that Perkef L'smicha Shchita, the Gemara says, but there's one exception to the rule, and that was the Metzayra, because the Metzayra had a standby Shar Niknar, his Asham required Smicha, the Asham is Kachik Adasham, had to be B'Tzafin, and Tosfos says, how much distance is there from Shar Niknar until Tzafin? It's Chaf based Amos, so that means Chaf based Amos, or Yoisemi Chaf based Amos is more than Takeoff. So, Tafasta, Mu'a Tafasta, will assume that Chaf Beis Amos is a sheer takeif. And that's what's brought down halacha. The Ramah brings it regarding halachas of takeif, it's Chaf Beis Amos. So he said it comes from here, a big chizik, that if somebody is Mekariv a Talmud Chacham, someone is a Ma'areach a Talmud Chacham a Beisai, it's not just a schooler that at some point he's going to get Sheifa Brucha Vatzlocha. It's takeif, it's Toich Chaf Beis Amos. That was the takeaway. But I think there's even more here, and that is first, Behektam, a short introduction, and that is Parshas Chayisara. So the pasuk says, "Vayetze Yitzchok l'suach pasada." Everyone knows the pasuk. Vayisa enav. He looks up. Vayar v'hine gmalim boil. He saw camels, and then of course he saw Rivka. He had a shidduch. Zok to balatur. Vayetze Yitzchok l'suach pasada. Haynu tefila. Yitzchok went to the field to daven. She Yitzchok tikein tefilas hamincha. He went at that time to be Misakim Mincha. Avram was Misakim Shachris, Yitzchak Mincha, Yaakov Meirah. Va'oz nisnamu Rivka. And it was right then and there that his tefillah was answered. He had Rivka. V'haynu d'chsev. That's And the Gemara says, what does it mean a person, he should daven for a wife? Says the Baal HaTurim, when Yitzchak Avinu went out to daven, what was he davening for? He was davening for a shidduch. He was being mekayim the Gemara in Brachas Tav Chesam and Aleph. Al zoisi espalul chosid le'es mitzoy. And you know what happened? Va'oz nizdavna le'rifka. His tefillah was answered. He was like a terifka. So I heard from the Rav Shlita, Rabbi Yeshua Abba, he asked that the Baal Turim seems to be saying Yitzchak's tefillah was answered. COD. Literally on the spot. Va'oz nizdavna le'rifka. But really, if you think about it, it's a pella. Because Rifka was nizdavna le'me Hashem yatsa adover had already happened. Yitzchak didn't know that. Yitzchak had no way of knowing, so he goes outside, he's going to daven mincha, and lo and behold, Oysa Shalom ben Reimu, V'yasa Shalom aleinu, a shidduch. But really, the tefillah wasn't answered thus the shidduch. The shidduch had already been wrapped up previously. Yitzchak just didn't know. So what does it mean, V'az nisdam nolay rifka? As if to say that Yitzchak's tefillah's hamincha, Yitzchak's tefillah of Al-Zayis Yispalel Kol Chasid Le'es Mitzay was answered. So the truth is, the Sephorna says the same thing the Baal HaTurim says. And the Sephorna asks the Kasha, and he answers the Kasha. B'l'shoyna Yazov, of course. Not V'im Toyma V'yesh Leymar. But he clearly was bothered with this Kasha. And says the Sephorna, V'koydem Shehispalel Kfar Nishlam Inyane Bechar. So there's an idea of terem yikrov ani ena, that sometimes Hashem answers a person's tefillah even before he davens the tefillah. But lomdus, Hashem is answering the tefillah. Ordinarily, you have to daven in order for Hashem to answer the tefillah. There's a concept that before you daven, Hashem is going to answer the tefillah that you didn't daven yet. Ordinarily, what do you mean? If I didn't daven, how's Hashem answering the tefillah? But Hashem anticipates, knows that you're going to daven, and Hashem will answer the tefillah before you even daven. So Rivka was nizdam moiler Yitzchak because of his tefillah. It was alzois yispalu kol chasal leis mitzoy vayetze Yitzchak lesuach basada. What did he daven for? He davened for a shidduch, and Hashem answered the tefillah. What do you mean the tefillah was answered earlier? Yeah, it was terem yikrov ani ena. Hashem was answering the tefillah before Yitzchak already davened. And ishtel tzu, the Rav did a beautiful story with the Marsham. There was a big zera in a certain city in Europe, and the Yidden didn't know what to do. So they heard about a certain tzaddik who lived in a shtetl somewhere, and they decided that they're going to put together pidyon geld, a very large sum of money. They're going to give the money to the tzaddik as pidyon, and they're going to ask the tzaddik to daven for them. So they collect the money, parlor meetings, they go out to the tzaddik, they give him the money, and the tzaddik says he's going to daven. When the oilam came back, they found out that a day before they had come to the tzaddik, the whole story had already been wrapped up. The entire zera was gone. They wanted their money back. So they went, and they weren't sure if they were allowed to get it back or not. So they sent the shiloh to the marsham. Do we have a schus in chaysh and mishpat? It was a mekach tais. We gave the money to the tzaddik thinking that there was a tzara. It turns out there was no tzara. So they wanted to know, is there any way for them to get their money back? So the Marsham said, no, you can't get your money back. And he said, I'm going to prove it to you. Because there's a parsha in Shmuel Beis, Perek Vav, that describes Oyved Edoim Hagiti. The context over there was that the Aron had been captured by the Plishtim. And finally, the Yidden got the Aron back. And David HaMelech was afraid to take the Aron into Beis David. He was worried. He was afraid. He didn't know if it was the right thing to do. So he decided, instead of him taking it, obviously he wasn't going to give it back to the Plishtim. So instead, he was going to give it to this person whose name was Oyved Edoim Hagiti. He was afraid. Vayateu David Beis Oyved Edoim Hagiti. Says the pasuk, "Vayeshev Aron Hashem beis Oved Edom Agitish loishach Hadashim." That the Aron was in the house of Oved for 3 months. Vayivarech Hashem as Oved Edom, that's called beisai. And he had tremendous bracha. Did Oved Edom Agit? You got the Melech David Leimo, Vayivarech Hashem as beis Oved Edom Agit, was called Hashem Leimo. Avur Aron Elikim. When David Hamelech heard all this bracha, Vayelech David, then David already said, "No, then now he's going to take the Aron." Vayales Aron Elikim, beis Oved Edom, ir David besimcha. He took a besimcha. Everyone knows the next pesukim. V'David mecharcher bechal oiz lefnei Hashem. V'David chagur efei bar u'shalei. David was Melech Yisrael, but at the same time he was dancing. But regardless, David initially was afraid to take the Aron. So instead he said, let it be based Oved Edom Hagiti. It was there for 3 months, and during those 3 months, Oved Edom Hagiti had this unbelievable bracha. Vayivarech Hashem es Oved Edom ves Kobes. What was the bracha? So Rashi, quoting a Gemara in Masechtas Brachos, Daf Samech Gimel Amud Beis, says as follows: Ishtoi Oved's wife, Vishmaina Kaloisel, and his eight daughters-in-law all gave birth to children during those 3 months, but they didn't just give birth to one child. Yoldu Shisha Banim Bekeres Echad. They had the bracha that the Yidden had when they were in Mitzrayim. So Oved and his eight daughters-in-law, poor Shvigar, all gave birth to six children. It was Yontif. That's what happened. That was the bracha. The Vilna Gaon asks that it's mashma that this all happened during a 3 month period. So during the 3 months that the Aron was in the house of Oved Eder Magiti, all these babies were being born. It takes more than 3 months for the children to develop. How is this possible? Says the Vilna Gaon, it must have been a nes b'toich nes, that they were all nesabra and gave birth in 3 months to six children. As I zok the Vilna Gaon, but said the Masham, v'li nira different shot. These women were nesabra before the Aron ever came. Before the Aron ever arrived into the house of Oved Ed, like they were already nesabra with Shisha Bekeres Echad. They were just born during those 3 months. Freit the Masham, but if that's the case, how's it add up? The Aron didn't come until the third trimester. How were they already nesabra months earlier? Zok the Masham, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the Aron was going to breathe there, and Hashem gave them the bracha on credit. He gave it to them in advance of the Aron actually coming. He gave them the bracha al derech terem yikro va'ani ena, in anticipation of a schus that this family was going to have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu preempted them on credit, in advance. He already gave them the bracha. That's the pshat in the bracha. The Marsham said, sometimes Hashem gives bracha in advance of a tefillah, in advance of a schus, in advance of a skula. He says, how do you know that the reason the Yeshua didn't come one day before this tzaddik davin was because Hashem was answering the tzaddik's tefillah before he actually answered it? So for that reason, he said, you have no schus in Hilchos Chayshe Mishpat to take the money back. And that Rabbi Shua Bishtel Tzu to this Balaturim, who was Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuach Basada. It was Azoy Sispal Kochos and Leis Mitzoy. Va'oznis Namnale Rivka, like the Sephurna says, it was a geder of Terem Yikro, the Aniyena. So, what does it have to do with the Gemara and Brachas, Tafman Bezam and Aleph? Because we spoke at Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya on that Pasik in Parshas Vayeshev, where the Pasik says that Me'oz, that it was as soon as Yosef Hatzadik came to the house of the Mitzri, Vayivorech Hashem es Beis HaMitzri Beglal Yosef. Says Rabbeinu Bachi, what was the pshat? What was the schus that Yosef Hatzadik is in the house of Paitifa, now all of a sudden there's going to be bracha? Says Rabbeinu Bachio, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated Yosef like he was the Aron. And just like the Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, Perigva Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayeshev Aron Hashem Beis Oved Edom Agiti Shloisha Chadashim, Vayivorech Hashem Es Oved Edom Ves Kol Beisai. They got bracha, so too when Yosef was in the Beis Mitzri, he got bracha as well. Because Yosef the Merkava was like the Aron. And just like the Aron brought bracha to the house of Oved Edom Magiti, so too Yosef HaTzadik brought bracha to the house of Potiphar. Ad kan v'shoynoi shal Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya, it's 3 lines, Rabbeinu Bechaya. And he says that the beer in that pasuk of Parshas Vayeshev is the same as the beer in Shmuel Beis. If that's the case, what do you see in Shmuel Beis, Perek Vav? The way the Marsham explained it, that the bracha that the Aron brought didn't come years after the Aron was in the house of Oved Eved Agitim. It didn't even come takeif. It didn't even come within Chav Beis Amos from when the Aron was there. It came before. 6 months earlier, the bracha had already come. So when the Gemara says takeif for Talmid HaChacham in bracha, it's COD, it's Toi Chav Beis Amos, but it's even more than that. You see from here that the bracha that a person could be zoichato from being mekarev and being ma'areich at Talmud Chacham in his house is a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives on credit. It's so chashev. A person who's zoichato to have a Yosef HaTzadik, Yiftach B'dayre, Kishmul B'dayre, someone has the schus of being mekarev and being ma'areich at Talmud Chacham, a gadol. The schus is unbelievable. It's takelif from Talmid HaChacham and bracha, which means it happens immediately, but sometimes, as in the case of the Aron with Oved Edom Magiti, the bracha could even come in advance prior to the actual source.